We're going to talk about the death penalty. And even among Christians, some think that the death penalty is too harsh. Recently this week, my wife was texting me. She texted me a news article that South Carolina is bringing back the death penalty through the use of the firing squad. So basically, you have a murderer that killed someone. You line them up and you shoot them. Okay? Now, some people might think that's too harsh. And by the way, they're doing that because they said that they're running out of lethal injection poisons. I don't know what their excuse is. But regardless, we must carry out God's command of the death penalty, which is killing a person who shed innocent blood. The Bible says one of the six things that God hates is those that shed innocent blood. Hey, abortion is murder. That's shedding innocent blood. My biblical principles about killing a murderer is we have to get rid of him by any means possible. However, we should not enjoy killing people. You have a murderer down here, death row. Oh boy, I get to blow someone's head off today. How shall I do it? I'm gonna tie him to a tree and drive my truck right into his body. That's 100% unbiblical. Why is that? Because God says in his book, in his Bible, it says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We shouldn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'm forgiving that murderer the plan of salvation, how to get saved, and then carry out God's commands by removing him from the face of the world. Hey, do I feel bad about it? Absolutely. I wish we didn't have this type of sin. But because Adam sinned and cursed us all, we have murders. But one day, praise the Lord, that we're going to a place, if you're saved, where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more heartaches, and murder will be non-existent. But for now, that's what God wants us to do. We got to take out the person that sheds innocent blood. So what I'm going to do today, I didn't even bother researching this in the Bible. I have before from my own personal study, but I want to read an article that I read as a teenager. My father, my dear father, who educated me, I'm so glad I have him, introduced me to Creation Moments. If you're familiar with the radio station Family Radio, I don't suggest you always listen to it because they have some weird things on there, but they have Creation Moments programs on there. Ian Taylor, as you know, is the host. They have a wonderful website that I highly encourage you to go to, Creation Moments. And they have an app. You can go to the Apple Store and download Creation Moments app. I have one of their books by Ian Taylor. Tremendous, tremendous. As a matter of fact, if you download the app, turn on your notifications on your phone, and every morning you'll get some type of article, a biblical King James article from Creation Moments. So let's pray and dive into the subject of the death penalty. Heavenly Father, help us to learn something from this, Lord. Why you instituted the death penalty, Lord. We have to follow what you told us to do, not what we think is right, because out of the heart proceedeth wickedness. So help us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the article is this, Capital Punishment, written by Ian Taylor. That's spelled I's in India. A is in Alpha, N is in November, and then Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. Okay, let's get into this. The foundations for human morals and ethics are found in the book of Genesis. As you know, Genesis means the beginning. It's the first book of your Bible, the King James Bible. The issue of capital punishment was given in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. God's covenant with Noah upon leaving the ark and entering the new world after the world, after the flood. In quotations, that verse says, Genesis 9:6 says, "Whosoever sheds the blood of man, by him shall his blood be shed. For the image of God has God made man." End quote. That's the Bible verse, Genesis 9:6. In the former world, from the creation to the flood, permission had not been given to take the life of the murderer. Instead, the murderer was to be exiled as in the example of Cain. This is very interesting, as the example of Cain, who murdered his brother, Abel. If you read Genesis chapter 4, 8 through 16, it gives that story. It really suggests you go there and read that. We are not told what the mark of Cain was in verse 15, but the ancient Greeks may have provided a clue. In their mythology, Adam became the defied Zeus, and Cain became the defied Hephaestos. Sorry, I cannot pronounce that. So Hephaestos was master of the forge, which is conflated with Tubal-Cain. And exiled from for some unspecified crime, he had been given a limp. You know, he couldn't walk straight. Okay, it will be recalled that Jacob was also given a limp. Genesis chapter 32 verse 25 is where you can find that Jacob got a limp. The Greeks exiled their murderers and often cut off their noses or their ears as a warning to others. So they cut those pieces off to warn others, hey, this man is a murderer. Okay? You can't get a job like that. He's a murderer. However, following the Genesis flood, God had made his covenant with Noah and mankind. Okay? Covenant with Noah and mankind. The words in Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 17 speak of God's covenant 7 times. God promised never again to flood the earth if mankind will keep his part of the covenant, part of which was to put the murderer to death. God gave his reason for this in verses 6. It says there, "For in the image of God he made man," end quote. In other words, since the murdered victim was made in the image of God, the crime was thus against God himself, not society. Wow, so interesting. When you kill a person, you're committing a crime against God himself. So all those aborted babies, I don't care what you call it, that is the straight up murder, guys. It might be recalled that this is the principle of involtation, the voodoo doll and the crucifix. It was a secondary matter that society was protected by execution of the murderer. But if society took no action, society itself will be held accountable. You know, when you let go of a murderer and say, oh, he served his time, let him go. Society, who is supposed to carry out capital punishment, is accountable. They're going to stand before God for that. It has never been a matter of dispute that the passage Genesis 9:6 is the beginning of human government, where man was given permission by God to enforce law and order by the death penalty, justice by the scales and judgment by the sword. Okay, the importance of this commandment is given by the fact that it is repeated several times throughout Scripture. So some references for you guys if you want to take some notes. Numbers 35, 30 through 34. Leviticus chapter 18, 24 through 25. And the occasions where God commands individuals, usually kings, to put to death certain pagans. The death was always to be mercifully swift by beheading or stoning. Look at that. You know why? Because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So, you know, we should never, he committed a heinous crime. Let's throw him inside water with a bunch of sharks in there, right? I don't think he's going to, I think he's going to feel everything. Yes, I know what he did was wrong. You know, if you're listening to this and you had a loved one murdered, man, my heart goes out to you. It really does. And we should, whoever killed your loved one, or if you know of someone that had your loved one killed, we should immediately do justice and have our society, our government, kill that person. That's what the Bible says. The death was usually to be mercifully swift by beheading or stoning. So, you know, if you shoot someone the right way, like this, the firing squad they're trying to bring back in South Carolina, you shoot him the right way, he's not going to feel anything. Okay? The important thing is we have to remove him from our society. Numbers chapter 35, verses 33. Do not pollute the land where you are. You see, bloodshed pollutes the land, and atonement cannot be made for the land on which the blood has been shed except by the blood of the one who shed it. Do not defile the land where you live. Okay? You know, let me read that again, because that doesn't sound right. Give me 1 second. Yeah, so you shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for the blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Okay, so continuing on, do not defile the land where you live. Okay, so, hey guys, stick with the King James. I don't know if that's a typo that man made on his part. But anyway, the atonement principle depends upon life for life, and the Old Testament, the life of certain clean animals was given in place. Clean animals was given in place of life of the sinner. You know, that's talking about atonement for a person's sins. We are reminded that animals were not fallen, as are the descendants of Adam, and thus, in this sense, their lives were a more acceptable offering than man's life. Very interesting again. Human sacrifice is not being suggested here, but in God's eyes, every sin is worthy of death. However, the one sin where animal sacrifice did not apply was the murder. Was that of murder, as stated in the passage above. The reason given was that it polluted or defiled the land. Other passages show that the land is defiled by murder, blasphemy, and adultery. Scripture indicates that when the total defilement of the land reaches a certain point, God causes the rain to cease. There is a famine in the land, or vomit out its people. Leviticus 18:25. Let me read that from the King James Bible. God's words preserved in English. And the land is defiled, therefore I visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. You know, that's going to happen to us, man. Beloved, that's what's going to happen to us. We are killing millions of babies. And the demographics of America is changing. Our own culture is being hated. Why is that? We're removing the name of America. Not me, but the, you know, wicked people here. But hey, it has to happen. I mean, it's sad, but this abortion stuff is wicked. It's sometimes erroneously argued by those who are opposed to capital punishment that the execution of the murder is simply another murder. Okay, so yeah, so basically a lot of people, oh, you're going to kill the murderer? You're just as bad as he is, okay? Scripture makes it very clear that this is not the case. There are several passages that point out that the murderer is responsible for his own death, expressed as his blood, being upon his own head. For David had said to him, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 16, real fast. It says there, and David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for the mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. Here's another verse that Mr. Taylor gives us. Let's go into the King James. Their blood shall return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever.
but upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. Okay? All right. Okay. In the New Testament era, in particular, since evolution has been accepted by the liberal church, the early chapters of Genesis have been dismissed as a myth or allegory, and thus the understanding of Genesis chapter 9 verse 6 has largely been lost. So we can keep this fresh in our minds, let's read Genesis chapter 9 verse 6 together, please. It says there, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So the understanding of Genesis 9:6 has largely been lost, and that is so true. There's people that call themselves Christians that think that we should get rid of the death penalty. No, we always must keep God's laws. Thus, the meaning of man made in the image of God has unconsciously been replaced by man having been made in the image of the ape, the gorilla, the primate. In other words, God has been replaced by the ape. It hurts me to say that, but that's what's written here. The murderer thus commits a crime, not against God, but against society. The issue thus becomes a social issue rather than a moral issue. That's very well said. So basically what he's saying there is, you know, how it should be when a man commits murder, the man committed a crime against God. But the way things work here now, which shouldn't be, is that the man has committed a crime against society. And that kind of, it's still in people's eyes, some people's eyes, that's pretty deep, that's pretty heavy. But not as deep as saying, hey, you committed a crime against the Lord. You know what I mean? The bleeding heart liberal, the bleeding hearts liberal, having little understanding of the origins and implications of morals and ethics, at first pleaded with society for the rehabilitation of the murderer. We even hear more recently of the rights of the murderer. With less than a whimper of protest, the liberal church has submitted under a barrage of liberal claims that capital punishment is a barbaric practice and that it does not deter the crime of a murderer. I think it does. I mean, if you see someone get burnt up in an electric chair for committing a murder, that really will discourage murder, you know? Now, you're letting people go that committed murder, let them go. You know, people are not going to be afraid to commit murder anymore. They're just going to do it. With a more subtle appeal to the Christian element of society, some liberals have pointed out that Jesus shed his blood for all sins of mankind, including those of the murderer. The argument is then made that if God himself can forgive the murderer's sin, then surely the church and society can also forgive. This is a false argument, because while the sin can be forgiven, divine justice must still be done. The land must be healed. Everyone must experience the first death, whether by natural causes, accident, or execution by God. But God has promised his own that it is the second death that will have no power over them. The second death is for the unrepentant who suffer in the lake of fire. Let's turn there and read that together. That's in Revelation chapter 20. We'll do 20 for now. 20 verses 5 through 6. But the rest of the... Wait a minute. Yeah. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 14. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Yet the argument has seemingly slipped past the sleeping church. While it is true that Jesus died for the sins of mankind, it is also true that the sinner must truly repent and accept Jesus first before God's forgiveness can be received. It is understood that in the prisons of North America, those prisoners that are held for capital punishment are presented with the gospel message and an opportunity given to repent. Often this is taken into account by the sentencing judge. However, according to media reports, many of the most notorious murderers refuse to even make a false repentance. Is that interesting? Keeping self-confessed murderers alive, especially the unrepentant, is not only a burden to society, but ensures continued defilements of the land and prevents closure in the minds and hearts of the family of the murdered victims. The only exception will seem to be where the accusations is in doubt, since execution of the accused innocent would then lay the burden of murder upon the jury, judge, and executioner. So, you know, please take time to read Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. I think we should do that one more time. You know, this is what the Bible says. If you have a problem with the death penalty, you have a problem with God and his commandments. We have to carry out the death penalty. Sadly, America or any society that doesn't want to carry out justice, they're cursing the land. Check this out. Every moving thing that delivers shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given unto you all things. By the way, that's why I will never become a vegetarian. I like eating hot dogs. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof. Okay, verse 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, while I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Okay, now I want you to do some quick research, right? Our main podcast platform is Podbean. You know, you might be using Spotify, iHeartRadio to listen to us or whatever is out there. But what I'll do is put these links in the description of our program. I'm going to put Ian Taylor's article in there, and then this little piece I'm about to read to you or mention to you. There are two men in history in the early 1900s named Nathan Leopold and Richard Leopold. Now, pay attention to the description of our podcast. I'll put the links of this historical information at the bottom of our program. But what they did, these men kidnapped a 13-14-year-old boy named Bobby Franks. They wanted to carry out an experiment as to what it was like to commit a murder. They believed that they were selected. Look at this. Leopold was particularly fascinated by Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche's concept of supermen, interpreting that as transcendent individuals possessing extraordinary and unusual capabilities whose superior intellects allowed them to rise above the laws and rules that bound the important average populace. Whoops. Yeah, so look who their idols were. Leopold and Leob. They were listening to Friedrich Nietzsche. Because these guys I'm talking about, they spoke like 11, over definitely over about 10 languages or more. Let me see. Let me get an exact number. They spoke 15 languages. Okay? He spoke 5 of the 15 languages fluently. Okay? So they believed, according to Friedrich Nietzsche, their mentor, that they were smarter than everyone else and that the laws do not apply to them. By the way, next time you hear someone quoting Friedrich Nietzsche, let them know about these two men who Friedrich Nietzsche influenced. Evolution, these weird philosophers, I hate to say it, but they give murderers an excuse to go do bad things. On the Origin of Species motivated Hitler to do what he did. Karl Marx said, finally, The Origin of Species is a book that we can be a guide for communism, you know, very wicked stuff. But anyway, they killed Bobby Franks, okay? So they thought that they were above this man. They murdered him, okay? Long story short, one of them died in prison, but one of them did survive. I think that was Leopold, Nathan Leopold.
He survived through prison. According to history, he became a good person, but he never got the death penalty for murdering Bobby Franks, a 14-year-old boy. He became a good person, according to history. He was nice. He changed his thinking, and so forth and so on. So my question is this, right? When you take time to read about these two men, I'll put the link in the description. Do you think he should still have gotten the death penalty? Absolutely. The land is polluted with innocent blood, and the Bible says you got to take this man out. That's what the Bible says. Swiftly and quickly, kill him. That's what the Bible says. So you might even now, I read from the Bible where God said that capital punishment should be executed. Even now, you probably disagree with our stance on capital punishment. That's fine, because you know Jesus told the truth and they wanted to kill him. Paul said that, am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth? Jesus was like, he said, I tell you the truth and you want to kill me. So that's going to happen, right? We just have to stand for what the word of God says. But for those who don't know, because one person that I said, hey, God instituted capital punishment, she was like, really? Showed her the verse. Oh, yeah. And agreed with it quickly. So you're probably listening to this and saying like, wow, I didn't know that capital punishment was a biblical thing. Thank you. So this program is for you. So God bless. I hope this is a blessing to you. Play some music and you enjoy the rest of your day.